Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3. This is Christy Matthews, joined by my co-host Linda Kent, Cameron Walfort, and producer Travis.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, wait.
Later after our break, we'll be talking with Synonymous Doug from Rug Zombie. This is a crypto project designed to turn worthless tokens into assets. Seems too good to be true, doesn't it? Well, stay tuned and you decide. We love receiving your phone calls and chats, so feel free to join the conversation by either calling the show at 530-605-4567 or dropping a comment in the chat room at kcnr1460.com or on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow. Meanwhile, we're going to start the show today by briefly talking about money, Bitcoin, and time. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
All right. This is from Vitality Bowls. And finally, this week, Vitality Bowls will have their grand opening, and that will be this Friday. Vitality Bowls Superfood Cafe in Reading offers the most nutritious smoothies, wraps, salads, panini, fresh juice. I'm not going to mess it up. Acai bowls, which is a thick blend of acai berry topped with organic granola, fresh fruit, and more. It's delicious, healthy, and fresh. So help them celebrate their grand opening this Friday. It's BOGO Day, where you buy one, get one free on acai bowls and smoothies. And then on Saturday and Sunday, buy one, get 50% off any menu item. And that's really a good deal because most of the time, even if it's not a grand opening, when they're having a sale, it's only on particular items. And this is off of the whole menu, which is great. So it's Vitality Bowls. It's located in the southwest corner of Mount Shasta Mall between Sprouts and Home Goods. Check out their website at www.vitalitybowls.com for their hours and their menu.
All right. Well, let's talk about money, shall we? Well, I mean money in terms of a tool for trading human time. You know, central banks are the modern-day era masters of money, and they'll wield the tool of money as a weapon to steal time and inflict wealth inequality. Look at the working homeless. I mean, this is something we can relate to what's going on right now. This is real-time stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just real-time, but it seems like the perpetuity of time. It's been something that's ongoing where money has essentially been weaponized to create some sort of class segregation, and we're seeing that in real time right now. But since its beginnings, we've used money to sort of represent some value of time, but as more money comes into existence, the value of the money that you've already had historically has gone down, which means whether or not you did the same job as someone is now doing, they're now getting more, and the value of what you've done is effectively less. So that's, I think, sort of our jumping off point for today. But
yeah. Well, if you don't mind, let me go back in history a little bit. And it started with, let's go back to Western Africa. We're going way back.
Okay.
To agri beads.
All right.
Okay, and they're small, decorative little beads, and they were used as money for many centuries. But then there were some explorers that came over from Europe, and they realized that these were beautiful shells that they were able to replicate in their own country, but it's something that they weren't able to do in Africa. So in Africa, they had value. They had all of the components of what makes should make money solid, a tremendous store of value, like gold, for instance, mm-hmm. and Bitcoin. But what happened is that the Europeans, they went back and they counterfeited the agri-beads. And they came back to Africa and basically just flooded their market with agri-beads, which just kept devaluing the value of goods and services and the value of time.
Time.
And people became slaves, not because they wanted to. They needed to survive. They were selling anything that they could, eventually selling themselves, and then they became subjected to slavery. And this isn't just an American thing like some people think. This has been going on all around
forever.
The world.
Yeah.
And then it happened again with cloth straps, little strips of cloth. It was a Portuguese hijacking, counterfeiting process, which further enslaved the people. So what's different? We're printing all this money today, and look what's happening. Look at the homeless,
yeah.
for instance.
And they're actually counterfeiting it, like you were saying before. It is counterfeiting, and there's no value to it at all. And that's one of the, well, I shouldn't say at all, but very little.
It's not a stagnant value. A lot of what people look at and complain about with Bitcoin or investment asset, I suppose, is the volatility. And what people think is that because the dollar is pegged to a dollar, that makes it somehow not volatile. But if we're looking at across world currencies or even a gallon of milk, we can see the dollar devalue mm-hmm. at a rapid pace. And then if you walk outside and or if you are a human and you drive a car, you can see that the gas prices are going up. And if there's something that you were going to peg on a more relatable scale, something similar to gold that you would actually want to peg your dollar to, it'd be the price of gas or something that actually has a utility that doesn't just keep escaping you. So as you can, if I got $100 today, right now that's worth, let's just say 25 gallons of gas if it's roughly $4. In 3 months, it's predictable that it's only going to be worth four gallons of gas as the price of gas mm-hmm. goes up. So you can see that if you're just holding on to something that is backed by this idea of stagnant peg against itself, that everything around it can outgrow it, and then you're holding on to nothing.
You can see that out in today's world. I don't know. I just went and got propane, and I mean, it went from $2.99 to $3.49. Now it's $3.75.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about being pegged. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow.
Well, who pegs the value of the dollar? So if it's not backed by anything, so there's an arbitrary force, and it's called the central bank, and there are central bankers all over the world, and they peg what their currency should be valued at. They suppress some other mechanisms, such as silver and gold. They're suppressing the values mm-hmm. of them, and we come to this point where we're at right now because you cannot suppress the value of Bitcoin. Bitcoin does not have a built-in inflationary factor into the cake. So central banks, they want to have like a 2% inflation rate. They call that normal economic policy.
Yeah.
So that if you were to borrow money from a banker, there's 2% right on top of it, and then the banker has to have their cut. So all of a sudden, now you have to work that much harder to make a payment, right?
Right.
But the inflationary values that we hear about with Bitcoin really just has to do with, Linda, what is my Bitcoin worth to you? And what is it worth to me to sell
right.
it? That's where that inflationary value comes from. No central authority set the value of the Bitcoin.
And you can't keep. So to say, print it. You can't make more. There's only so many in existence. Where with our paper dollars now, if they want more, they just push the button, and away go the presses.
And now, if we back it up to if we could just have someone mining Bitcoin in the Stone Age. Now, if you had a little bit of Bitcoin, and we could look at it today, obviously, but if you have a little bit of Bitcoin and you die, you are passing on something that's going to grow in value with against the deflation of our current the current currency's value. So as those dollars are going down in value, that's inversely just jacking up the price of whatever you were pegging against it. So this,
so can I ask you a question then?
Yeah.
So are you trying to say that that Bitcoin is scarce, and that's why it has a store of value?
Yeah.
And that's why it's more valuable over time?
It's, well, obviously, the scarcity is heavily implied by this, but the inability to counterfeit it is something that doesn't exist in the physical world. We make all these measures to make a $100 bill that can't be counterfeited. And the reality is, if one person can make it, then obviously it was not impossible to be made. Whereas within code, it is impossible to change that. And that, especially, well, on the blockchain, it's impossible to change that. And that's where it gets extremely neat, in my opinion, on the DeFi side. But then even if we're not looking at the value of Bitcoin going up over time, there's also this, there's no death tax, there's no anything that you haven't authorized yourself. And by that I mean, if someone has your wallet address, if you wanted to, you could just give them your wallet address, and in a way that's passing on a completely discrete payment, but that's not really a safe way of doing it. But what I, the overall point being that the mediums that can disrupt us, such as what we're seeing, I'm sorry, I'd like to back up real quick. Over in Canada, we have that the
trucker convoy.
I can remember their special name for that. But roughly $1 billion got held up on the way over to them that was being donated to them, and if that was going in Bitcoin, like what it is now going over there in, the government, no central authority, nothing could stop that from landing there. And we are actually seeing the first, a very transparent betrayal of that trust as people are trying to send them these funds, and democracy is being overruled by what is seemingly a dictator stopping those funds from landing there.
All right.
So are you saying, well, I guess, go ahead, Linda.
I almost lost my train of thought. Sorry about that, but we were talking about counterfeit. Oh, I know what it was. So, like, with Bitcoin, I just have a question. You know, back, like, in the 30s when we were when FDR came in and he said, hey, I want you to turn in all your gold, you couldn't really do that with Bitcoin, could you?
You can't confiscate it. They can try. They're trying to do that.
You're more protected that way because you would have to give up more information to them?
You have to be willing to give up your keys and your seed phrases for them to be able to get it.
For clarity, that does rely on you actually being the custodian of your own funds. So if it is in Coinbase or something, that's just it's similar to stocks where they could force you to liquidate assets and take your money and you don't have a say in it. Whereas once it hits your non-custodial wallet, then an army couldn't take it.
So, Sparky, you need to bring in the truth serum because otherwise they're not getting my seed phrases.
Well,
and
I was
going to
say, how would they even know what you have? Or how much, or where, or any of that. I mean, because it's not like it's tied to me. Like, it doesn't say Cameron across the top. Here's Cameron's Bitcoin. You know what I mean?
So it is, to a point, traceable to whose address is what. But we are coming up on the break, so I don't want to dive too much into that. But at the end of the day, the blockchain, because you can see where transactions are going, anyone can see any transaction that happens on it. Once you withdraw Bitcoin from a central exchange, so if you were to purchased it and then withdrawn it or any sort of crypto, then they could in theory figure out where that money went or what wallet that went to. But even if they had your wallet address, they could do absolutely nothing about it. Anyway, we are just about out of time going into the break. Coming back from the break, we will have our guest from Rug Zombie on, and that would be Doug. We do have a fun little prize opportunity today. So if you want to head over to rugzombie.io, you can try and find out which one of their tombs has the highest APR. And if you can give us a call with the answer, you have a chance to win a free, extremely limited NFT. And the number to call in is
530-605-4567. And we will go ahead and go to break. And you've been listening to KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Wash away my trouble, wash away my pain, with the rain and Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame, with the rain and Shambhala. Oh,
ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, ooh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Premier, your friendly old change.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models in an ever-changing world. We strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Down.
Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. On the line now is Doug from Rug Zombie. And, Doug, I just want to take a quick minute to introduce you. I've had the pleasure of speaking with you a handful of times, but Rug Zombie is built around reviving rugged coins and burnt projects. So, with not wasting too much time, I would really love to speak with Doug about this, and we can dig into how they plan to do this or how they're currently doing it. Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, excellent. You want to tell
us a
little bit? Oh, sorry.
I know that probably is an unpopular opinion there, but go Bengals.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm taking the underdog. I want to see them crush the Rams, just saying.
So, how you doing today? You watching the game?
Yeah, I'm planning to, yeah, here with the family, and we're going to do that here in a bit.
Oh, nice. So you want to give us a brief little rundown of your project, and then we can dig in a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how familiar your listeners are with the DeFi world and, you know, what happens, but there's this scammy behavior out there where these malicious developers will essentially create a crypto project with the intention of taking all of the money, all of the liquidity from their token after launch, or maybe sometimes it's a result of an exploit. They can no longer continue working on it. And then in the end, they end up just looking out for themselves and trying to take out as much money as they can, leaving their community and people that have invested in their token holding something that's now worthless. So that's the problem that we identified. And so our solution was, we can't really offer people a financial compensation for being scammed. I would love to have that kind of money. But I don't know that I would want to reward the kind of behavior that would lead to that in the first place. So we can't necessarily give people financial recovery back, but what we can do is offer them non-fungible tokens, or NFTs. And what we do is we take the token and we kind of zombify it. So our most recent one was based off the CX coin on the Binance Smart Chain, which there were a lot of YouTube influencers out there talking about this one. There was a notable influencer named Ice Poseidon. That's his pseudonym, or his Twitter handle. And so we, you know, based on that scam, we created an Ice Poseidon zombie. And that's kind of what we issue to people in an exchange, I guess, for returning in those dead tokens.
So,
I just think that's fascinating. I'm glad. This is Christy, by the way. Doug, nice to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, because, the rug pools is something that runs rampant, and I like how you presented this in a way, we can make it into something valuable. When I first was reading one of the taglines on your website, kind of thought, well, how are we going to turn this worthless thing into cash, you know, and you just explain it, and eventually it could be worth something, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping. We have a series of, we have some roadmap development plans, such as games that we're preparing to launch. One of them is in live beta currently. It's a mini game, so it's not the most impressive of our ecosystem. But some of these games are going to require the NFTs that people are earning on our platform. And so if you want to play the game, there's a lot of incentive for you to get into those graves. And if you don't have, we call them graves. We don't call them liquidity pools, just kind of tongue in cheek. But if you don't have the necessary NFTs, you'll likely need to head to a secondary marketplace in order to acquire one of those. Now, something that we're doing is, with our gaming, we're trying to split the difference between what's often called play to earn and pay to play. So most mobile game companies create these pay-to-play models where the game is only really fun if you have the funds to pour into the game. I think that's broken. As a gamer myself, I don't like that. I don't plan on spending hundreds of dollars a month on one particular game. But then on the other side is, you know, this play-to-earn, like kind of giving people money to play the game. We feel like the games that we make should stand alone and be of excellent quality so that people want to play them. But they don't necessarily need to acquire every single NFT in our collection. And so that's the balance that we're striking. But what I hope that does is some of these NFTs that people have collected will in fact have value on secondary markets, because there will be gamers and collectors alike that want to oh, that's a really cool one. I want to get that one. I didn't get a chance to mint it when it was early on.
Right.
And so we hope that that will give some people some value back.
Now, my name is Linda, and I haven't met with you or talked with you, but I'm welcoming you to the show. But I have a question. Does it only relate to gamers?
No, it does not. We are creating games, and so that will appeal to a wide variety of people.
Right.
Our ecosystem does have components of it that are similar to other cryptocurrency projects like yield farming, staking, those types of mechanisms that people are very familiar with. And something that we're really looking forward to is we are essentially creating an e-commerce system. This is a few months away in our roadmap. But essentially, a user will be able to take one of their digital assets and turn that into a physical asset. All the while, if that physical asset is sold, so let's say you have a website and you sell a T-shirt and it has a picture of that NFT on it, you as the NFT owner will recover some of the value and the profits of that as well. So that's not strictly for gaming. We've got a few ideas about how that's going to be useful in the world, but it's not strictly for gamers. I would say that we're putting a lot of energy into the gaming and a lot of effort.
If I may touch on that, just on the fun side of an investor that wants to get in on the next big thing, whether you're a gamer or not, if you can anticipate the NFTs having a high demand within these games or these games having a high demand, it is still a worthwhile investment whether or not you plan to utilize it, as the return on investment will still potentially exist down the road whether or not you're utilizing it, as you can I'm sorry, just had our winner call in. I got a little sidetracked, but it looks like he already
is he on the line, or is he just called in? I can't see what.
I have his number. It's best on radio to say who the winner is so no one else calls in.
Okay. So we do have a winner, and his name is Michael. Congratulations, Michael.
Oh, congratulations.
All right.
Not to interrupt, sorry.
No, you're good. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. But anyway, just adding to your point that whether or not you're a gamer, you could still benefit off of the game assets, assuming the game does take on value down the road, or those assets take on value.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you made that point because, you know, I'm not a gamer. I never have been a gamer, but I'm trying to understand that world somewhat with crypto and Bitcoin and everything and all the different avenues and on-ramps that it does do for people. So I'm glad you guys clarified that, because I'm thinking, game and I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gaming for dummies, okay? That's me. You know?
And our secondary market it's actually going to be launching tomorrow. We are working with a project that is launching their first ever NFT collection called Money Monkeys. It's a very interesting project. Most NFT projects have names like that. So if you're not familiar with the Bored Ape Yacht Club, they all have, you know, over-the-top names.
Okay.
But our marketplace, what I'm getting at is that our NFT marketplace is not just going to be for people trading gaming assets, although we might lean into that a little more. It's actually going to be open, and people can trade whichever NFT assets they prefer to trade. So whether it's just a collectible NFT that people got because it was a memento of something, or it's a, you know, has some type of further utility, or it's a game piece or something involved with gaming, no matter what the NFT is, if you want to buy, sell, and trade it, our marketplace will be a place for people to do that.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it's really neat what you guys have been, I mean, what you're ultimately working towards. If you don't mind, because I would say that as close to anyone is an expert in this field, what are some things that people should be looking for on rug pulls, or to avoid investing in some bad early projects?
Yes. So, you know, disclaimer, like we always do, not financial advice here. But
exactly.
NFA, hashtag NFA.
Yeah, that's right. But some healthy, friendly advice, I would say, is number one, if you don't understand the basic utility of Bitcoin or Ethereum, it's probably going to be much harder to understand some of these smaller micro-cap and small-cap projects. And so people are drawn to them because they see a lot of high upside. They think, oh, I could 1,000x my investment, while all the while they don't understand the fundamental usefulness of the blockchain technology they're interacting with. So my number one recommendation for people is to get educated as much as you possibly can. Read as much as you can, watch as many videos as you can, and I'm not talking about the videos, say buy this, don't buy this. I'm talking about the videos that tell you about the usefulness of the technology. The more you're familiar with how it works, the less likely you are to have the rug pulled on you, because you'll be able to spot them when they come. A lot of these tokens don't have a lot of utility, so that's something else I tell people to look for. And this is just my personal thesis. Some people really find these community, like meme tokens, like Doge and all that. They find value in that. I don't. I don't think that's very useful. It's not useful to me. I'm not sure that it solves any problem that another token doesn't. So let's take Doge. I don't want to riff on the Doge community. I think it's in the top 20 right now. So, you know, probably irresponsible of me to say that it's not worth anything.
You don't think there's demand for meme coins? How dare you? Just kidding.
Yeah, but you know, you think about this kind of stuff. What does it do? Well, if it's meant to be a currency, well, we have stable coins for that. Doge is being inflated at a pretty constant rate, and you know, let's not talk about the dollar, but you know, there's maybe an argument to be made there. But you know, you have stable coins to transact in a, you know, a stable manner. As a store of value, well, it doesn't have a limited supply like Bitcoin does. There's a lot of things that are lacking utility with that token. And so I would just recommend that people be careful, really examine the white paper and the information about the project and the token that they're looking to get into. And then, you know, I usually do some due diligence stuff. I check out the community. I see, is this a healthy community I'd want to be a part of? I read the white papers and the technical documentation. If I don't understand something, I try and look it up so that I understand it enough. These are the kinds of things that really help me to make sure that I don't get rug pulled left and right. And then, you know, generally speaking, I don't participate in pre-sales, so tokens that want to list early and give people access early to a token, because I've just watched that go sideways so many times. And, so that's what I do. I don't know if that's for everyone, but even though I have a project that helps people against rug pulls, I haven't really participated in all that many of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Of the rug pulls.
And I'd say, not to insult anyone, but there's some degree of common sense when it comes to just a blatant rug. I mean, if you're investing in Shiba Super Dogecoin times 7, then, I mean, that's on you. That you're just looking for something that's taking 17 different hype words and trying to mesh them together into something. In the industry, I'd say most of us know that if it doesn't have some underlying utility off the get-go, then all it is a prolonged rug pull at best.
Yeah. A lot of people get involved in the pump. You know, it's like, hey, have you found that Shiba coin? And, oh, you got to go get some. Mm-hmm. And they completely bypass the research part. And Doug, I completely agree with you. If you want to have any kind of return on investment, you got to do your own research. Look at that white paper and see.
Yeah.
There is BS white papers out there too. You have to look for the
Absolutely.
Word salad and see if there's good references and if they're referencing Wikipedia, I would be a little worried about
right.
that, but that's just my opinion.
And yeah. I want to go back to what you said earlier about scammers or scams, something to that effect. Unfortunately, you have that no matter what you're doing. So mm-hmm. going back to doing your homework, I mean, the crypto world, Bitcoin, all that, it doesn't make any difference if you're not paying attention and you don't understand. Maybe you need to get more information and get educated a little bit more before you just go spending a lot of money. I mean, if you got it, I guess it's okay. Some of us don't have it, you know? So
you know, and you're speaking to something else, if I may. I think a lot of people feel pressure to jump into this market because it's hot, thinking that if I don't catch the train now, I'm going to miss it forever.
Right.
But the reality is that we're so early to adoption of crypto technology and digital assets that I really don't think people are substantially missing the boat at this point. Yeah, you might miss out on that one token that goes 1,000x from where it is currently. But there's going to be more of those, and I'm not suggesting you go chase them. But what I'm communicating, or at least trying to, is that we're so early into the digital asset technology kind of landscape that I think if you take the time, slow down, do the research, learn about what this whole industry is about, you're going to be much more prepared for the ups and downs, spotting scams whenever they arise, understanding your risk as you enter into the space. Just education, you know, that's the bottom line.
And with that, Doug, we're going to have to go to a break. Hopefully you're going to hang on with us till after the break and we can pick up this conversation. That would be great. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. But I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Now on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
And we're back. To our listeners out there, would you like to receive $10 of Bitcoin for free? Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We chose Swan Bitcoin because they make onboarding easy for new Bitcoiners like me. I'm very simple. It's like for, you know, Bitcoin for Dummies or something. Isn't there a book like that? Just ask us. By using our dedicated link, our listeners will receive $10 of Bitcoin when setting up an account. We have accounts with Swan and Lovett. So to claim your free $10 of Bitcoin, use our special link at swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. And now we will return our conversation with Doug with Rug Zombies. Is there something you would like to touch upon, Doug, that we haven't already kind of gone over?
Yeah. One thing that I've just been thinking about while we're here is that I think something that a lot of users maybe are hearing about is NFTs and why they matter. And we touched on it a little bit before the break, but when you these NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, people are treating them as though they're just these digital JPEGs, essentially.
Right.
And it's ridiculous that they're getting valued so high. And while I do agree with a lot of people that are critical of this, that some of these are in a bubble and are going for massive valuations in price that don't really reflect what they are worth, I think sometimes when we focus on that, we can miss the point. And one thing that I wanted to mention is something that a lot of people don't know that we're doing with our marketplace and in our project. And if you've been in our Rug Zombie community for any amount of time, you'll know that I love to spill secrets every chance I get. So this will be the first time that our community would hear about this on this program.
Awesome.
But we're actually working behind the scenes to onboard regular retail mom and pop, you could say, shops and businesses into the NFT industry. And one of the ways that we're trying to do that is through a curated NFT service. And so we're sitting down with these just regular people. You had mentioned, you know, let's make it simple, Bitcoin
right.
for Dummies. Well, we're trying to take that approach. And not that people are dumb or stupid. It's that this is a new industry. This is a new technology. And most people are simply unfamiliar with how it works.
And it's funny.
So we're working.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say my co-host and I have actually been really talking about this a lot lately about how to kind of bring this into a little bit more layman's terms, and that was a lot of the purpose behind this show
mm-hmm.
is to help bring people up to speed so it's not feeling like speaking a foreign language, like it can
yeah.
very easily feel like as you dip your toes in. If you don't mind, could we ask about the spawning pools, the tombs,
sure.
the graves, all the different things you guys have going on?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
If you want to just give us a quick rundown on what each of those are so we at least get a touch on them, and then we can try to dig
yeah.
in. Yeah.
Well, let's start with the graves, the most obvious one. You know, we're taking dead and scam tokens, and we're burying them 6 feet under. And so that's why we call them graves. But essentially what it is it's a staking pool where a user will take a certain amount of zombie token, which is our native token. They'll lock it into the grave. And what that does is over time it generates for them more zombies. So they are getting some type of token that has a value. And it takes that dead or scam token. And after a certain amount of time, they'll be eligible to turn that into an NFT. And that's what the graves' primary use case is. Some people are seeing them simply as a way to generate more of our zombie tokens so that they can earn some type of financial reward. But we're finding that our users are very, very excited about the NFTs themselves. The tombs is just our fancy way of saying our liquidity pair. And so for most DeFi projects, in order for them to have any liquidity to make trades, that is, there's got to be money in the pot for people to buy, trade, and sell,
mm-hmm.
We need to incentivize people to provide that liquidity. We are a decentralized project, meaning that the community is the one providing the liquidity. We put in the initial amount, but by and large, the liquidity is provided by our users. And they're rewarded for doing so. Not only do they receive some of the transaction fees that happen when people swap a token for zombie, but they're also receiving additional zombie just for doing so. That's our tombs. And then lastly, our spawning pools. We went with a more live theme, you could say, because our spawning pools are a way for people to stake or lock in zombie in order to earn partnered tokens. So a good example of that would be something like French Connected Finance, or I'm trying to think of our most recent spawning pool listings. We've got Spartan Token, Farmageddon. We've got some other projects on our Binance Smart Chain ecosystem that you can simply stake zombie and you can earn some of those partner tokens. We love you. Additionally, you do earn an NFT for doing that as well. And what we love about these spawning pools is it gives people a no-risk way to get exposure to new tokens. So they may not have the time to do the due diligence on a new project, but they can get exposure to that token without needing to, you know, go all in and risk their own money on it by purchasing it directly. They can earn it.
And to some degree, those are all doxed or trustworthy. I mean, may not perfectly like, oh, financial advice, go buy all those, but you at least know to some degree who the development teams are behind those tokens and all of that, correct?
Yes, we do some due diligence on the front end to make sure that at least it's not scammers. We've had to say no to several projects due to features in their code, and it's been unfortunate because some of them are really great guys and girls. They just maybe hired out the development of their token, and so they didn't have any control or say in how it was created. And there would be some features that are a little bit of anomalies to us. And so we've had to, unfortunately, say no to a lot of projects. But for the most part, the tokens, you know, we can't control whether a project rug pulls. At the end of the day, if it's somebody's intention to scam people, they can find a way.
Oh, yeah.
But we can do everything that we can to avoid that. And earning them in the spawning pools is a really great way to get exposure to them and giving you the extra time to go and do your own research and due diligence to see, is that something I want to be a part of? This is why we host AMAs. This is why we always point people and write articles and point people toward their community as well so that they can go and check them out for themselves and make their own decisions.
And then if you don't mind me asking, I'd imagine that Binance Smart Chain was chosen out of simply being the home of the most rugs. Do you guys have any plans to expand?
That's great.
I'm sorry. But
yeah, no, it's exactly true. We looked at all the chains, and that's why we chose the Binance Smart Chain.
Yeah.
We are going cross-chain. That is the goal. The first step for us would be Polygon, the Matic chain, because, you know, it's a similar product in that it's Ethereum, it's an EVM compatible chain, so the making it on the code side would be a lot easier. But then also it does have a home of a number of rug pulls on their chain as well. But then it's also we find that I really like Polygon, and I think a lot of institutions and institutional money likes Polygon. So there's some upside for us as it's a new market for us to move into as well. Other chains that I'd love to be on that, you know, don't take this as gospel, but I'd love to be on Solana. There's just some, that's a whole different beast. I'd love to be on Avalanche. I'd love to be on the Kronos chain, the crypto.com chain. I have great ambitions. So we'll see after Polygon where we go from there, but at least Polygon in the midterm future.
Hey, Doug, can you tell us what the catacombs is? It looks like a kind of a dark place.
Yes. I'm glad that you asked. The catacombs is a very special feature on our site. It's kind of gated by a password.
Okay.
If somebody needs the password, our Telegram community can very much help them with that. There are direct and indirect clues to the password that are in our group. But in the catacombs, we kind of put a password-gated step in front of that because we realize that a lot of the features that are in there are really for people that are fairly experienced with crypto and DeFi. So what you'll find down there, I can just tell you, is you'll find a black market for people to buy, trade, and sell rug-pulled tokens. Not activity that we would recommend, but we're finding that a lot of our users are wanting to get into graves, even from rug pulled projects that they didn't actually get rug pulled on. So they're looking to get those tokens to get that NFT. So we said we can't tell them not to go look for those tokens, but if they are, why don't we give them a space that we know at least it's a little bit safer.
If I could speculate on that really quick, though, I mean, if you get a hefty chunk of those, that's where Useless came from, was picking up a project that had no future. Just taking that user base by the hand like that, I'm not saying that that would be ideal for anyone to do, but if, I mean, there's a million people holding this token, you might be able to leverage that to your favor if you did have something that you wanted to do with it.
We've thought through some of those. We've had some ideas before, potentially by robbing liquidity out of dead tokens by pairing our token with theirs and doing some fancy code. We've had all sorts of ambitions. Just it comes down to really wanting to put safety first and think through all of the different vectors of attack or vulnerabilities. Other things you'll find in the catacombs as well is we do have a few of our NFTs available for direct purchase, and they get listed always first in the catacombs.
Okay.
So, you know, when people want to get an early mint of one of our NFTs, they can go to the catacombs to get them.
You know, the 64,000 Satoshi worthless token question is going to be, what is your Telegram group? Can you give us the address for it?
Yes, I can. Give me just one second here. It's actually, we got in early on our name, so it's just, if you type in the regular Telegram link, it's just /rugzombie.
Okay, great.
One word.
So t.me/rugzombie for those
excellent.
Who
want. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very simple.
So we've got about 3 minutes left. What else would you like for our listeners to know about your project?
Yeah, I think I want to just maybe pick up and say one last thing on those curated services that we're offering for getting, you know, retail users adjusted to NFTs and Web3. I'd love to just kind of, I can't stress that point too much, that it's not too late for people to jump into the digital asset world. And with our marketplace, we're really trying. So, for example, if there's a, I'm not saying that there is, but I'm not saying there's not, but if there's a local food bank, for instance, that wants to run a charity drive and they want to sell a digital asset in order to raise charity. Like maybe they'll, I don't know what the art would be, but if they wanted to run something like that, we're trying to help people do that. We're trying to help them understand how a marketplace works. And we're even going the length of helping them set up their own sites that are Web3 enabled so that their community can start to get onboarded to this new technology. Now, we know it's going to be a lot of work, but we're willing to put in the work because we just think that this is such a great new technology to be used, and it's going to really help a lot of people.
That's fascinating. And it, you're taking another concept. You know, some look at staking, helping people get masternodes, these food banks and charities. This is a great way. I love the what would you call it, the innovative idea of using the NFT for that. That is awesome.
Yeah. They'll come with all sorts of perks as well.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that gets me excited is to seeing what NFTs can unlock for a community.
Yes.
Maybe you get special privileges or special access to certain parts of, you know, of a website or a content. Maybe you get entered automatically into prize drawings and raffles and those types of things. There's all sorts of things that can be done with NFTs that we just, the crypto space has not yet explored those to their depths.
Well, I'm glad you brought some of that up to make it easier for some of the rest of us to understand, you know, what applications can be used with NFTs.
Right.
Which is very important. But we're at the end of the show, I hate to say, guys. And we really appreciate you coming on, Doug. We would love to have you back, I'm sure, in the future when things start evolving more and you've got more projects and more things going on to let our listeners know. But
thanks for having me.
That
so
would
much.
Be rugzombie.io.
All right. And so we're at the top of the hour. So until next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Have a great
day.
things are and the way things ought to be. He gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.